I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 25, the 1975. Drum roll, please. BMW 3.0 CSL, otherwise known as the Batmobile. Raced in the IMSA series, driven by Brian Redman and the late, great Ronnie Peterson. Car won 5 races this year.
This year?
That year. Yeah. Could have this year, too. Included in those races. Hold on. Was Sebring, Riverside, Laguna Seca, Daytona, the Paul Revere. Not the 24 hours, but the Paul Revere.
Yeah.
And then when IMSA raced on the road course at Talladega. The funny, I shouldn't say funny thing, but the odd thing about this. Now, this was the factory Bavarian motor car company, Motorworks company, BMW. The cars were housed at the shops of the Allison brothers in Hueytown, Alabama. So picture mid-1970s, 10 to 15 German dudes living in Hueytown, Alabama. I kid you not, on the back of the BMW, it literally said Hueytown, Alabama. It was awesome. Anyways, that was before they had space in Atlanta and New Jersey. But anyways, fantastic car. Good driver lineups, too. Went on the following year, Peter Gregg took over with driving those, moving over from Porsche. It was kind of a coup, but I think that was more of a marketing ploy by Peter in his BMW dealership as well as his Brumos Porsche dealership. But anyways, I digress. It was the halcyon days of the Chevy Monzas, Porsches, BMWs, in the erstwhile Charlie Kemp Mustang. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. On tonight's episode, we'll talk... we'll talk NASCAR. We'll talk IndyCar at Laguna Seca. Mm-hmm. That was a good race.
That was.
Once again, strategy. We'll talk IMSA, 6 hours at the Glen.
Yeah.
That did not disappoint.
Nope.
Anyways, fantastic race. Some good stuff there to talk about. I saw the Michelin Pilot race, so we can talk a little bit about that. Really not a whole heck of a lot happened in that race. It was actually kind of very calm.
It was calm, but yellows fell at the right
time.
Time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. We also had Lamborghinis up there. We also had Porsche cars, Porsche Carrera Cup cars, and the Mustang Challenge cars.
Yes. And I think the MX-5s.
No, the MX-5s were not there.
Oh, no, they weren't.
No.
Damn.
I know.
Oh, that's right. The Mustangs replaced them. That's what it was.
I know, but the Porsches were at Montreal for the F1 race. So it was kind of weird. But anyways, it's probably one team in the Mustang paddock. Wish they weren't there. But anyways. and then we'll talk some news and notes. Oh, we'll talk F1. Oh, how did I forget that?
I think I'd.
Oh,
I
can sorry. Tell you why. The reason why. I'm not British.
Whoops.
We'll talk F1. I'm going to have to pull those results up.
That'll be the first British race of 3.
Well, the way the weekend was going, you would have thought. Have you listened to that other podcast?
Yeah, I did.
Oh my God, it was unreal. Yeah. Anyways, I can't be that funny, but those guys can.
No, I know.
All right, let's talk the 6 hours of Loudon, otherwise known as the... I don't know what it was.
The 6 hours of Loudon?
Yeah.
Oh, did they have it literally, delays?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it literally took 6 hours to
sorry,
run.
Sorry, I should... Well, no, I'm not sorry. I didn't watch the race. I heard there was rain. I didn't know
there was how rain. Everything fell. They actually got to use the rain tires.
Yep.
Saw that too. Which was a good thing, but bad thing because NASCAR said when to use it instead of the team saying when to use it. So I'm with the teams on this. Let the teams decide this. Okay. Deem it, you know? So, anyways, yeah. That was an issue. The only real contretemps came in the later stages of races. McDowell was trying to make something happen, and he sent it, and then he sent it right into Blaney, mm-hmm. which is like, what are you doing? Then he was like, you know, they interview him. He's kind of, it's just like, you know, typical, well, I had to send it. And I'm like, no, you didn't. You could have passed him.
Yeah.
And you wrecked both of their races. So, anyways, that's what Blaney was pissed about. Anyways, Christopher Bell won. And that's all I really got to say about it. Oh, Larson was fourth. I will say this in the point standings. That's more interesting, actually, right now than the race. Mm-hmm. The race was just like, it was a snooze fest. The modified race was so much better.
Yeah, I guess the having watched the finish the last couple of years, this one in comparison was a little bit of a letdown.
Oh, yeah. Well, but, it was the two, it was the Bonsignor brothers, but you can't get into each other. Even though early in the race, two other brothers got into it. So it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, that wasn't good. They'll be talking about that one.
Yeah, the Catalanos.
The Catalanos, yeah. I don't believe that was Chris Catalano.
No,
it could be relatives.
I know.
If Chris is listening, call in.
We should have had him on tonight.
Oh, yeah. Did he go?
Yeah.
Somebody else went, too. Two other people went, we knew.
Yeah. Are you trying to remember who?
No, I know who.
Yeah.
Do you know who?
Yes.
Oh, you knew. Okay. Yeah. So there was three people we knew at that.
Yeah.
No Nate, though.
No. No, he was catching lobsters himself.
He was catching, yeah. Anyways. Oh, yeah. They had the the untasty big lobster. Yeah, that's like animal abuse, putting that thing out there. Really is. Anyways, especially, you know, 12 hours after the race started, too. So, anyways. In the points, Larson has sprung back ahead in a dead tie. He's only leading because of...
Are these the playoff points?
No, this is just the current point standings.
Season points.
Season points. And this includes who's in, who's out, you know?
Yes, yeah.
So Larson has skipped ahead of Chase Elliott, and it's merely, I swear, it's based on number of wins or number of stage wins. I don't know, but he's ahead. It's a dead heat, but they're tied. So, it's stage points. Ugh.
No, that's why I asked. Are you on?
No. I'm based on points, but the tiebreaker is stage points. Oh, ugh. Shoot me. Anyways.
Not number of wins?
No. Well, it doesn't matter. Kyle's ahead, so. Denny's third. Sinking like a rock, but he's in. Truex, still no wins, holding on to fourth. Tyler Reddick's in fifth. Bell with another win. That's three for him. Wow, him and Byron, three. Kyle's three. Denny's three. Ooh, they actually... Bad Brad's still in because he had a win. The other Blaney Chastain needs a win to stay. Well, to win to stay in would be nice. And then we got Bad Brad at 11th. Ty Gibbs. 11, I'm sorry. To Brad Brad's 10th. Gibbs, Bowman, Buescher, Logano. Got ahead of Bubba Wallace. Damn it! He's back in. Well, Kyle Busch is on the outside looking in, so I guess that's all right. Kind of wish it was just, like, Logano and Busch, like, 26th place. But, anyways. All right, they're off to, I don't even know. Where are they off to next?
I don't know.
Hold on.
We probably said it last week.
Probably don't care, that's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Oh.
Oh, no, isn't the brick...
No, they're at Nashville.
Oh, all right.
For the Ally 400. All right, and then
that might be a good one.
2 weeks though. Chi-town.
SVG is gonna.
Yeah.
Defend his title. All right,
that's well, that covers NASCAR. Oof. Wow. Couldn't even watch the highlights because it wasn't even worth watching. All right, IndyCar. Laguna. This is the event to close the week. Well, yeah, it sort of did close the weekend because the NASCAR race finally finished at some point.
Yeah.
Just before this thing ended, which was on the West Coast.
There was other racing to fill the day than for me to watch NASCAR.
I understand. But, you know.
Yeah.
At some point, gents, let's call the race. It was halfway, and they still went to a rain delay. It's like, you guys. Because it flooded. It was the monsoons that were going on up there. Like, just call it.
Yeah.
Anyways. So in this race, I get to say it. Hello, Pello! Alex Pello.
Mm-hmm.
Great job.
Yeah,
all weekend. I mean, great job. Got pole. He did get snookered on the start. Kirkwood worked him, which was pretty cool. And then hung in there. Tenacity, drivers of tenacity for the weekend. These two, Rossi and Herta.
Yeah.
Although it was Herta and Rossi in the final standings. I applaud both of those drivers.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like a second home race for them. So
it is, but I enjoy when those two are in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
In a surprise fourth out of nowhere, Romain Grosjean, the Phoenix, with JHR, fourth. Thought the race itself really was, early part of the race, tire strategy, trying to work that.
Yeah, I mean.
Middle stops were more fuel numbers.
Well, it was fuel, and then how do you want to play the end of the race.
Play the end of the race.
Because the last... No, I'm sorry. Like the second or third to last yellow.
Yeah.
Really started playing
was
some
that,
games.
Was that Giotto's yellow?
Yes.
Yeah, that one kind of put everything... Kind of brought things forward.
Yeah, because then you had... Part of the field split on strategy, and then the other half.
Yeah, we'll get to this in a minute too. That yellow. There was something. There was a thing that happened on that yellow that needs to be looked at.
Which on Giotto's?
Yes, it was the final yellow of the race, right?
No, I wasn't talking about that one.
No, but that's the one I want to talk about.
Okay.
What was the one you were talking about?
The one that was like the second or third to last one. Not, I'm not talking.
The one where the car pinned up into the track there?
No, it wasn't that one. No, there was one where one guy was just off, and then the way the yellows fell, it split the field basically split into two strategies.
It wasn't the Graham Rahal one.
No, because that's the one that careened off. That was a restart. Yeah.
That was going up to the bridge.
Yes. No, yeah, that happened one, after.
I haven't seen anything more about that because I think Graham really kind of jammed his wrist because he...
I don't know.
Not so much... I don't... I think when he tried to get out of the... Like, tried to miss everything, he clipped it. And I think he still had his hand on the wheel and kind of jerked it because he was kind of monkeying around with it when they showed him getting out of the car.
I'll say this.
But they haven't said anything more about it.
I don't know if I like the extended pave sections that they've added to the track,
such as
they've added more pavement when you're going up under the bridge. There's more pavement.
Oh, the runoff area.
There's runoff on the right.
Yeah,
and then after you hit the kink under the bridge to go further up the hill to the corkscrew, there's more pavement on both sides.
Yeah, I think, and this don't get me, just this is just me. I think the reason it's there is if it wasn't. Like, literally, somebody could launch out of there. And that fence on the backside of the track that you're talking about, as you Well, when you come onto the bridge, that's just all big dirt wall. It used to be, you know. But when you start to make that left and go up the hill, that hill is actually a cliff.
No, I know. I know. I thought there was enough sand and it was deep enough to do it.
You can get pretty. The reason they did that was because cars are getting too fast up there. That was the whole reason. That's a pure safety thing. I thought you were going to talk like down at the hairpin. That has always been like that.
Yes, the only funky thing
they did down there was they. I don't know if it's still there. They put AstroTurf down one time, and that was like the dumbest thing. Yeah. But now it's like right, but that's how that always used to be. It was that you'd always run out there and stuff. But anyways, that's a fair point. I think it's still a little Mickey Mouse how the pit exit dumps you right into ready hairpin is. I'm not a big fan of that.
What, you want them right before turn one? Or, I guess, two?
I don't know. It used to be blend right out. But that was even weird because they didn't go into the hairpin. They went down the hill a little bit more, and then it was a fast left-hand kink. And so even when you blend it out, it was like, ooh, that was sketchy. Yeah. But I don't know. I guess maybe. It is what it is. I do like the rule about if you throw it off down there.
Mm-hmm.
You drive through. I like that because it's like keeps the shortcutting down. So that was good. I wish I could find the cautions, but
it's all good.
Anyways, it was the final caution. I believe it was the final caution, and they no it wasn't. It wasn't Giotto's. It was
Siegel. Yeah.
He spun, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't get the car fired up.
Mm-hmm.
So he was sitting. It was a dangerous spot. I agree. Townsend Bell was playing it up like it wasn't a big deal, but Hinchcliffe was right. It's like, you come around that corner, you're coming pretty quick, you know? I mean, if you're 2x2, it's like, oh, jeez. Yeah. And Bell's like, well, there should be a yellow there. I'm like, what if they don't see it? You know, so the thing I don't like is they let the car sit because now they're in the myriad of pit stops, and instead of just throwing it like they do all the time, like it doesn't matter, this should be consistent. The car couldn't move, they should have just thrown it, and then the pits close, and it's like, well, you got screwed.
Yeah,
no, they let it, and they let everyone pit, and guess who pitted last? J-New.
This is one that I wanted to bring up, but I thought he
was nowhere near being in the top 10 at that point. He was literally 12.
I'm sorry, he was the last of that pit cycle, but he was one of the few that jumped in at that time.
Everyone else had pitted beforehand.
Well beforehand.
Right. So the window, it's his fault now that they're going to get caught out, so you should have pitted.
Yes.
And they let him pit, okay? Because it's like, well, we weren't sure if you could get the car. Yeah. You waited 3 or 4 laps, and then finally they leave it open. Newgarden pits from 12th,
mm-hmm.
comes out in second.
Well, okay, no, he didn't pit from 12th.
He pitted from 12th because he got picked up. The pace car picked everybody up on the backs where the. On the back side. So when he went, the lap counts when you go through the timing beam. Okay? The car that got picked up was Pelot. Pelot had a big lead at that point. Okay? The rest of the pack was still trying to pack up to get him. It still allowed Newgarden to pit, cut the beam, get his lap, because the laps count when you cut the beam, because the start-finish line is past the pit lane. So you don't, that counts. It came out. And Pelot goes by, and he's in second place.
Yeah, but you can't pit from 12th and gain.
He was he did pit from 12th. That was the whole thing. Like Newgarden, I'm sorry. Everybody went ballistic. Like they were like, how did this just happen?
No,
and Christian, trust me. They went back and looked at it, and they said he was in 12th place when he pitted.
Okay, that's not what I remember. Anyway,
you got to remember they right when he pitted, he was behind those guys. He was behind Herter and those guys. Okay, all right. Palou was already down the road a bit, like a real bit.
No,
okay. So when they came out, when he came out of his pits, he crossed the start finish line because the line goes this way, goes into the pit lane. It's not like
but on every track it goes into the pit lane,
right? So he came out of the pits ahead because it took those guys couldn't pack up to Newgarden. I mean up to Palou because Palou got picked up so far ahead. By the time they picked up to, you know, were able to catch him, all right, Newgarden got service, crossed the line, filtered in behind Palou. He went from 12th to second. That's what happened. And it was a freak thing. And Palou, first thing he's like, how did that happen? And, you know, the guys on the wall at Ganassi said they did the usual when this incident happens. That's how he pitted. And everyone was still like, and apparently everybody's radio on pit lane went race control.
I know. It was, anyways, by the time it shuffled out, yes, it was really obvious that, like, Newgarden's in second, tires so compared to everyone else.
Which gets back to, if you're going to throw the yellow. Okay? And make it, I don't care. You got burned. You should have pit. Yeah. That's the risk you take. Now it's like, oh, we made an exception for these guys because, we sort of feel bad for them.
They always tend to lean on trying to let everyone pit.
Yeah,
however, when they get into these situations, it is unsafe.
But what the excuse was, we thought he could fire the car up. Well, that's BS because had he put it into the wall, they would have thrown it right away.
Right.
Get emergency services out there. So that's where kind of Hinchcliffe was like, you know, that one's really got to be looked at. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying, but then, you know, karma came and Newgarden threw it off the track twice. So I'm okay with that. I was going to get pissed, but I mean, Herter and both Herter and Rossi put pressure on him. He made mistakes and they, you know, got by him. But I was still like, oh, here we go again. You know, these guys. I want to thank Scott McLaughlin for taking out Will Power, who had a legitimate chance to win the race.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Because I think Power's strategy was going to put him up there. I don't know if he would have had enough for Palou.
No, but
he would have been a top five finish.
Yeah. Yeah.
But McLaughlin just, I don't know what was his thing all weekend. He was definitely on some kind of planet, too. Him and the other bus bro there, even though they're not doing it. So that was good. Ferrucci finished ninth, but was still, you know, being the complete pest all weekend, getting in everybody's way in practice as usual, so.
I mean, it's a tight track. So I don't know what kind of space
Power you want to finished find out there. Right. See, Power finished seventh because of that thing with McLaughlin. He would have been further up. He probably would have finished fourth where Grosjean finished.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He would have been up there with that.
Rosenquist, Nolan Siegel, good job. I no idea what he what how you know. He was all over the place.
Yeah,
ended up 12th. Good for him.
Yeah.
Pietro finished 14th. Good job for him. Malukas finished 16th. So, Zach, it's a wash.
Yeah, that was...
Oh, God. Anyway, so I was kind of glad for Malukas, you know, that he had a... You know, he could have had a higher finish, but I think he just kind of got shuffled out with the strategy at the end there.
Yeah.
Graham was one of my picks. He was my dark horse. He got taken out, so...
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. So, that's the race.
I know Nate cleaned up with the results. He guessed Palou to win, and then he had his dark horse was Grosjean. So
Grosjean, who was
not bad.
Who did I have?
You had Herta to win. Oh, so
second, and I had Graham
Ray. Yeah.
And who'd you have?
I had Pato to win, so probably should have won.
Pato was kind of out of the lunch this weekend too.
But my dark horse was. Siegel.
All right.
So
on the points front, Palou's out in front, 285 to 262.
Cruising.
Yep. Dixon in third, 9 behind Palou, Power. Sorry. And Herta's back in the fourth. So, anyways,
Where are we off to? Iowa?
Hold on.
Mid-Ohio. Sorry.
I believe it's Mid-Ohio's the next one.
July 7th. I got 2 weeks.
Schedule. Hold on. Checking. Yes, the IndyCar Honda Indy 200. And then we go to Iowa for the doubleheader.
That's where...
I'm expecting Newgarden to clean house there.
Yep.
So, we'll see what happens.
I was going to say, Newgarden's probably going to step back into some wins because it's going to be ovals again. But
it's Dixon. Dixon's good on ovals, right?
Dixon's good with strategy on ovals.
Yeah.
But then again, that's what they always do.
Yeah. Pelot's just, he hasn't had the luck on the ovals.
No. I mean, Pato's been strong on ovals.
Pato too, so maybe Pat. Pato could, yeah. All right, well, we'll see what happens. But Honda Indy next at 200. So that covers IndyCar.
Yeah.
All right. Should we talk IMSA?
Yes.
And my screen has now disappeared. Hold on a second.
6 hours at the Glen. And like we mentioned before, there was a slew of support races as well. We had the WeatherTech guys with all the classes. All the classes. And then Michelin Pilot Series with the GT4s and the CCRs. Porsche Cup Series, Lamborghini Super Trofeo, and also the new to this year, the Mustang Challenge Series.
Right.
I guess we'll just touch on that right away. Race one of the Mustang Challenge, big crash for one of the cars.
The Macular McCombie Racing car.
Yeah, going into one of the
kind of stalwarts in that stuff.
Yeah, going into the toe of the boot, it looks like either the throttle stuck or the brakes just...
Had brake failure?
Yeah, brake failure. So, hit the tire barriers, did a flip, landed on all four tires, and got out of the car in like 2 seconds. So, everyone's all good, and no injuries there other than just got a
bent-up car.
Rebuild the car, yeah. That race was kind of disappointing because it, like... pretty much all of it was under yellow.
Oh, there was I didn't watch either any. The only support race I watched was the Pilot Challenge race.
Okay. I just watched the Friday races, and then Porsche Cup was good, but the second. I believe it was the second race. There was just a massive pileup at the bottom of the S's, where guys, there was like two of them, or one guy got hooked into the wall, and then everyone checked up, and some guys tried to shoot gaps, and then just got hit on their left side, on the right side, and just caused more damage. Like, I mean, you saw the top 10 just skip away, and then the rest of the field had to make their way through this mess. But then the guys that were trying to get through there quicker than they needed to, in my opinion, just were being idiots, because like, it's already a full course yellow at that point. Just get by and then you can go race, because it's going to be a restart anyways.
And needless to say, that cleanup took a significant amount of time.
Right. Yeah. And
in a time certain, well, it's a lap race, but time certain at that point.
Yeah. And for the unfortunate thing with these support races and at some of these tracks is when you have all of these incidents, like, you just eat in the clock, and it's my one gripe with the sports car stuff is I know we need to throw yellows for safety and all that stuff, but when you have a 45-minute caution, or a 45-minute race, and then you have a 15-minute caution.
Yeah.
It
wrecks the race.
It wrecks the race, and then everyone then gets desperate because you even have less time to make it through the field or whatever. Yeah. So then you're really prone to another yellow too. And I know freak stuff happens too once in a while, but when you have racing incidents that cause accidents,
that's like that, the same that happens. And again, we're not talking series where there's a predominant. There are some gold drivers, gold rated drivers. Is it gold rated? Michael Cooper, gold driver. Or is he silver? I think you can have a pro in that. I think that
you can have a pro in some of these series.
Like, yeah, that's there's the pro class, and then there's the other two other classes. But yeah, I mean, guys start to make moves and get desperate. And same thing in the Lamborghini series. I mean, number of cars. It just depends. Yeah. You know, people giving each other room, things like that. So I didn't see the Lambo series, which I'm gonna go back and watch. Because I like those cars at Watkins Glen. Those it's a nice track for them. let's talk the big race. Sunday. It's somewhere along the line they're getting this right in IMSA.
BOP.
Because it was literally.
They're closing in on it.
Yeah,
there's still some discrepancies, but we have
a bunch of Porsches. We have three Cadillacs or two Cadillacs? Two Cadillacs?
It's two.
Two.
Because it's one Ganassi.
One Ganassi and the Action Express guys. Yeah,
and then the third is over in WC.
Right. And then we have the two Hondas or Acuras.
And two BMWs
and a Lamborghini,
and now the Lamborghini. Right. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, BMW was quick in the practice sessions.
Yeah, until they weren't.
Well,
until one of them.
But that one wasn't the quick one. Other one was the quick one.
Yeah.
And then, then they threw off, and Conor DeFilippi threw it off in 90 seconds to go in practice. I mean, it was, and that was like three cars down there that went down that. Well, not in that incident, but in that area, there were three wrecks that. So it's just like, wow. That required bringing a car in from Ohio, team rebuilding the thing, and getting it to the grid on getting it to the grid. getting it to the grid.
I mean, it was pretty similar to what Joda did Porsche.
It was a thrash
the other week. So yeah,
congrats to those guys, not to the drivers, but to the guys. Jesus, I hope they got that. Anyways, I don't want to get into that. Anytime a driver does that, they just driver's the one that gets to walk home, go to go have something to eat, and everyone else got to go home, go to bed, and come back at 2 a.m. to build a car.
Yeah,
I'm sure they were thrilled. we had Delatraz and Jordan on the pole. We had Porsche. I mean, it just like it was mixed up perfectly. You know, the Proton Porsche. Well, the JDC car. Sorry, there is a Proton Porsche. Yeah. That's the Mustang sampling car. But the JDC car was up there. I mean, which is a privateer car, and the Jota car is more factory than the JDC car.
Yes.
I'm just saying because. The JDC guys, I mean, this is just guy John Church owns the team, big racing nut, likes to be involved. You know, give him credit. He stepped up all the way through the ranks, and he started in LMPC, and now he's in GTP with a Porsche. And he doesn't have the Jota resources.
No.
But man, they put the car. They show up every weekend.
Yeah.
And they got snake bit because of just a dumb mistake on a pit out. So it happens. I just was like, I just sat there and I was like, wow, that's amazing. And then you get back into LMP2. It was just like in WEC and EMS, it was a dogfight. It was awesome. The one thing I like about IMSA, LMP2. You know, the one thing I like about LMP2 is it's a good mix of drivers. You have the pro, and you got a pro and a silver and a bronze, or bronze, whatever. It doesn't matter. But they're all really accomplished drivers and all really good. So, I mean, it was that was fun. And then we had GTD, pro GTD. I don't know. Just call it all GTD. Just a really good mix of cars. It was all over the board in terms of what cars were fast. The Ferraris were quick. I think a Ferrari inherently is quick at Watkins Glen. It's a good track for it. I mean, the Reese guys were on pole in GTE Pro.
The one thing I will say with the Ferrari, or at least Reese, is like they're only doing the Endurance Cup.
Yeah.
So it's hard. It's less opportunities for IMSA to BOP him.
So, well, there's other Ferraris running.
Yeah, but I don't think at that level.
No, it doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter. It's the BOP is. They could get screwed by not running, actually.
Yeah, no, they definitely could be.
Yeah,
but on the flip side, if they're
anyways, yeah. I mean, but they again, it's Reese. They
should. It is. Eight. I know, and I'm.
I love it.
I'm harping on them. Anyways, but we like them.
So they put it on pole. Corvette guys doing fine.
Yeah.
The Lexus struggled a little bit.
With how the season has gone, yes.
Yeah, they struggled. Yeah, they did.
Had an off race.
Yeah, it, like qualifying, they were just, yeah, you know. The Astons were quick.
Mm-hmm.
They were quick. The Mercedes. They were right there. So, yeah. Again, it's just a good mix of cars all the way through. You know, the first part of the race was just an absolute dogfight. I mean, we were just, you know, we were there last year, and we were still amazed at some of the stuff. And then we were watching it, and just, like, some of the stuff, we were like, oof, you know, wow.
Yeah.
Just moves and stuff. There were a couple dumb moves at the beginning of the race. The Aero Motorsports car, their bronze driver, second lap.
Yeah, there was.
What are you doing?
A lot of the dumb moves that we're talking about is you go for a move, but you kind of second guess yourself because you didn't. You either didn't send it in enough, or you are trying to get yourself out of it. Yeah. Midway through, so
his move should never happen. That was just, it was dumb. It was never going to happen because the guy was ahead of him and closing the apex, and he's still he'll move. No, he won't. And then you beached the car and broke the gearbox, and well, there you go, you're out of the race. I'm sure the rest of the team felt good about it too, considering they were going for third endurance win of the season. So it was that. Did it start to rain? No. Oh, then we had the Ferrari, the Cetelar car, throw the block on the CrowdStrike LMP2 car, and got wrecked.
Oh yeah, this one.
So this one, when you first saw it, you went, "Oh yeah, the CrowdStrike guy ran right up him."
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's still kind of weird, but you know, it looks like he did. And then they show the onboard from the CrowdStrike car, and the guy starts moving, and then puts the brakes on, and it was like, "Well, guess what? You're going for a ride." Well, he did.
Yeah.
Because
I didn't see
feel bad that the car got wrecked, but
I didn't see that the CrowdStrike didn't get a penalty.
Get a penalty. Okay. You know, and they came back and they got explained by race control that he made the Cetelar car made two moves.
Mm-hmm.
He went left, then he went back right, and they were like, "Well," and then he tried to do something else, and then that was the third, and they were like, "Forget it, you made too many moves."
So
they lucked out with it. I mean, it damaged the car a little bit. They got it fixed, and then you know, fine. You know, and the race kind of progressed. I mean, it was just a constant swapping of up front, you know.
Yeah.
And then we got into a situation where the rain started coming.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always fun at Watkins Glen because it the track's big. It's not Road America big, but it's big.
No. Yeah.
And it can be raining at one part and not the other.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some cars diving for the pits, others not diving for the pits. It was crazy. You know, that led to some havoc, and eventually we had a couple incidents and then yellow flag, and then we started racing again. And then we had the bigger monsoon come, which it was a couple big wrecks, and then that necessitated a red flag. And then, now, precursor to this is at the start of the race, the Acura of Delatraz was on the pole. So I figured this thing's going to scoot off, right?
Yeah.
Because he's been quick. Nope. He dropped like a stone.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then it's like, well, it couldn't get the tires warmed up. I'm like, oh, well, that's an issue because they don't use tire warmers. Is that correct?
No tire warmers.
No tire warmers in IMSA. And no tire warmers in WEC. So it's incumbent on the driver to get those tires worked in so that, you know, so he sunk like a stone at the start, then rebounded. And he was kind of sitting in third and running laps, which I thought was good. So now we jump forward to coming out of the yellow. IMSA says end everybody out. On the exploratory lap, opens the pits. Now you can come in, change the tires. Everyone gets on the same set of tires pretty much. Except a couple cars that were one lap down stayed out, and then I think they
got that lap back.
You got their lap back and then pitted and then went out. Anyways, at that point didn't matter to them. So the Acura pitted, came back out, was in front, and you know, he had the Porsche behind it. Did they leapfrog the other Honda, the other Acura?
More importantly, they leapfrogged the Porsches because the Porsches screwed up their pit stop.
Oh, they screwed the pit stop up. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, but the 10 Acura kind of felt, the blue one fell back because they had a little, they were a little slow in their stop.
Yeah.
So they go out, everybody goes out, funnels out and goes. And so, you know, down the back straight, and all of a sudden they flash back down three quarters way back down the straightaway. And there's the number 10 with no. rear wheel. So, you know, we're like, oh, you had one job to do and put the nut on. Well, apparently it was, remember during the race, they sort of had that little bumping incident going up the back straight with the Porsche?
Yeah.
Apparently the rear wheel got like the little knob on it broke off, apparently. And it basically...
Yeah,
just sheared itself, and so when they put it on, it basically just went zip on and just came right off.
Yeah,
that sucked. Anyway, so they were out, and then Wayne Taylor that sent him to the hangman's galley. Mm-hmm. Wasn't quite ready to end it then, but on the green, I think Wayne ended it. Delachaux just couldn't get the car going. No. Now I'm curious if Jordan could have. The reason I say that is Jordan's coming from running in the GTD class. I mean, sorry, the GTLM class. Mm-hmm. And there were no tire warmers in that class.
Of recent?
Yeah. There were no tires. The only tire warmers that were out there were, I think, in LMPH, LMDH, or whatever the hybrid class was back in WEC.
LMP1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think in GTLM they had tire warmers. So Jordan was pretty. And it may have been in IMSA too, Christian. They didn't have them. So still, he's just used to getting the tires up to speed. That's all I'm saying. I get it. Delatrez is quick.
I think a little bit lower tire pressures probably would have helped him, but minimum.
Shank lower?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying.
But you can't go below the minimum.
Right. There's a minimum. That's why it's there. So maybe that's a downside to the Acura.
I know, but also maybe the Acura doesn't work at that. Maybe there's a way to get it warmed up. I'm just saying. I just don't know. Sometimes I wonder about some of these guys that are the quick guys. Like if you sent them out, Albuquerque was with Ricky, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm not questioning him. He and Ricky can get the tires up. I just don't... Delatraz also got his lunch handed to him by Colton Herr and Pato O'Ward in the LMP2 race.
Yeah.
At Daytona a couple
the only, years ago. The only thing I will give Delatraz, though, on the second restart, was you were coming from a wet track to dry, and you were on dry. Yeah. So you're first man in, and you're going to be a little bit cautious, too. True. So right. It is tough.
I just... I don't know. I'm still not... I'm not 100% sold on him, but anyways...
could be worse.
Yeah, I know, but then, you know, I mean, Nazar just threw it and went.
I know.
So it was awesome.
I know, but
what was even more shocking was Van der Zander was in the Cadillac, and he actually, you know, I which I'm not again, I'm not a super Renger fan, but you know, again, I sometimes wonder why, like, just put Bourdais in. Just whatever.
There was one move that
Vander Zander did.
No, I think it was Nazar on Vander Zander.
Oh yeah.
Where they're
oh, yeah.
They come out of the bus stop.
Yep.
Nazar's on them, and they're coming to the entrance of the boot, and they clear
one car,
one GT3 car, and then Nazar just
zinged it,
sends it right in between both the Cadillac and the GT3 car, and just puts it in, and walks away with the lead that way. Yeah. That was
a really good move.
That was great.
And then we had Tandy and Jaminet, and then we had Jordan and Delatraz, and then Jesse Krohn and Philippeng with the BMW that was quick all week and the non-crash one.
Yeah.
The 25, God bless them. They finished sixth. I know. Yeah. You know, again, props to the crew there. Mm-hmm. Should never have been in that position.
No.
So.
But yeah, good recovery there.
Good recovery there. In GT, LMP2.
Whatever happened under the red flag with the LMP2 cars, it put like three of the cars a whole lap ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
The way it fell.
I think it just...
So, anyways, there was also a huge stack up in the boot at one point, and that really stretched them out because
they were all
on top
of one another. Did happen, ultimately, was the AF Corsa car.
Yeah.
which is funny. It's the AF Corsa LMP2 car. Mm. It's like, why don't you just bring the Ferrari here? That car, along with the Riley car, and the inner Europol car, our friends from Poland. Those three had sort of got ahead of that group. And the next group was the MDK car, and then it was the United car with the Resta, the pool.
Well, and the CrowdStrike car was in there, too.
No, the CrowdStrike car wasn't.
Well, CrowdStrike finished second at the end.
No, they did not.
No?
No, they got... Oh, there was a post-race penalty.
I'm sorry.
Colin got caught out because of the red flag. Doesn't count on the drive time.
That was that other thing.
That's why you can't wait sometimes. You got to get... Like, when you get your bronze guy, you got to get the other two guys in. Then
I know.
The drive time, the red flag does not count for drive time. So they got caught out, and then the right Porsche got caught out after a fantastic run.
Yeah.
And their last, the guy that was in the car there got caught out. They went from first, they got bounced, and then everybody moved up, and then the Magnus guys finished fourth, now got third in GTD. So,
GTD.
Not pro. Yeah. So I forgot that was the other one there.
Mm-hmm.
And in GTD Pro, this race really was Corvettes to win, and the four ran out of gas.
Yeah, unfortunate, but the last 30 minutes of racing that we had, sprint race between six different manufacturers in the top seven.
Right, and the only thing we talked about there was when they all came in the pit when they went out initially, they all came in the pit. Was if the car was quick, you weren't going to fall that far. They changed all four tires. It's like in the time. Because if you pit, you can't feel. You're not feeling at the same time. You got to feel first, then pit, then tires.
It's
not like WEC.
No, you can feel.
But in WEC, you have to.
No, WEC has this.
WEC, you have to fuel the car, and once you're done fueling, then you can change the tires.
No.
Yes, they do.
No.
Yeah. Okay, go back and watch.
I am watching. They all talk about how they leave the fuel thing in there until their timer with the energy tank goes off, and that's when they pull it, go. That's the sign for it.
You sure about that?
I'm pretty sure on this.
Anyways. They miscalculated. So we had the Harder Racing one, Aston one. We had a McLaren second.
Yeah.
We had a Chevy third. The other Chevy, Garcia and Sims. And then we had the Lexus fourth. And Ford was fifth. And then Rexy was sixth. So that's, oh, and, well, hold on here. Let's, okay. So let's do a rundown on GTD Pro. Aston Martin, McLaren, Chevrolet, Lexus, Ford, Porsche, Mercedes, Ferrari. Oh, no, wait a minute. Sorry. Sorry, the Windward guys got in there. The Windward guys snuck in. Sorry. So, anyways, in the first six, you had six different manufacturers in GTD Pro.
Yeah.
In GTD Pro and GTD, you had the first eight positions were different makes.
Yeah.
Although first two in GTD were Mercedes, Ferrari, followed by Aston Martin. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to hear somebody say that it, you know, there's not good racing in it. I mean, that's all a manufacturer can ask for. Mm-hmm. They all have a chance. And if I was sitting at IMSA today, I'd be smoking a big fat stogie going, well done. Because that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So IMSA's off for a bit. Well, the big guys are off. Next race is at CTMP, Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. Oh, it's known as Morsport?
Mossport.
Mossport, if you're from Canada. Mossport. I don't know. How does a Canadian say it?
Mossport?
Yeah, they say it kind of funny. They talk funny up there. Eh? Anyways.
I've been
that's an LMP2 event with GTD, GTD Pro.
Yeah.
So the LMP2s will be the big cars there.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Which will still, that'll be a good
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, that's basically back to what it was. What IMSA did for a while.
Oh yeah, they didn't. Right, there was no GTD.
Because when they did the merger, they got rid of LMP1 and it became LMP2s mixed with the Daytona prototypes.
All right. So let's move on to Formula Un. Formula Uno.
Yeah.
Formula Un. Formula One.
For
Formula One. So Grand Prix de Spain, de España. I don't know. What was the official title of this race?
I think it was the Spanish British Grand Prix.
Ah. Yeah. And so qualifying was a fantastic show as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Lando pipping Max.
Yeah, barely.
Barely, but
got him.
But yeah. Legit. We had George. No, George didn't pip Lewis, did he? He did.
No, Lewis got.
Lewis got third.
Third. Yeah.
Okay, and then George had fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ferrari. I got nothing to say about them. Anyways, and I, the rest of the field was the rest of the field.
Well, I mean, hold on, the Alpines.
Oh, the Alpines. Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was. I think it was because Flav's back.
Yeah, it just gives them a little bit more character, a little more edge. You know, yeah.
You never know. They might do something illegal during a race.
If they win a race, I'm not saying anything, but you know,
so
they could win a race.
Match, of course, now we have the qualifying order is, you know, Lando on top, British driver, mm-hmm. and we have the evil Dutch driver second, and then we have two more of the world's greatest drivers from England,
mm-hmm.
you know, third and fourth. So this course sent Sky F1 and to some degree F1 TV, British-based pundits, into another planet. Because like seriously, they were literally talking about an all-British podium.
Mm.
So I'm like, okay. Anyways, so you know, this necessitated me not watching the pre-race shows because I from what I heard, they were just droning on.
I like
the pre-race shows to a degree. I don't like the grid walk, but I like the pre-race show because I want to get info as to what's going on with the cars and stuff. But I was not in the mood for
I don't know. I think I've found enough graphics on Instagram accounts where it just gives me the numbers of this is what the track's like, this is the strategy, this is what every team is.
So, you know, we line up, you know, in the immortal words of Crofty, lights out, away we go, and it's the drag race down to the first corner.
Mm-hmm.
Lando made the correct move to cover.
Yeah.
But he was slow off the line. So the move to cover, Max was more inside him than probably. Max took advantage of that.
Yes.
Got himself in the right position. Lando mm-hmm. couldn't fully cover. What unfortunately happened was it left a huge gap where George went from fourth to first. Yeah. Great move on the outside. Yeah. I think that distracted Lando enough that Max just went, you know, to grab second.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Lando was expecting to see George on his left side.
No. And
I don't think he was expecting to see anybody on his left side. I just think that, you know, he just wasn't expecting that.
The only thing the front row could have done better was just space the cars out a bit.
Yeah, but Lando was late and Max made up that gap. I know. So there's nothing you can do. You know, Lando was kind of screwed at that point. Mm-hmm. So Max gets by. He tucks in. George desperately tries to, according to the pundits, oh, he's got to stretch this out. Like, he's not going to stretch this out. And it was like, what, second lap?
Third
lap. Yeah, they went one more time around. They got DRS. Max made sure he got DRS. Put it to good use right now. And the best part was George. I don't think George had a clue where Max was going. I really think he thought he was going to go to the inside, and he just dove to the inside, and Max is just like, whatever. It would have been better if Max went by one-handed waving at him, because it was hilarious, and he was gone, and it was like, smell ya, you know. And as much as they drummed it up during a race, he was never threatened.
Okay, if you look at the race as a whole, if George did not get between Lando and Max, yes, I think it would have been more interesting at the end. However, that's not how it played out.
Right.
So now it wasn't.
I want to throw one thing out there. Do you think Lando made a mistake by staying out to say he wanted to go after Max?
It's 50-50.
I thought it would be a closer race had he pitted earlier. That's my thoughts.
It could have been closer.
Yep.
Yeah, I shouldn't say it would have been. It could have been closer, but the tire advantage that they leaned on gave him that speed advantage to have a shot there. Now, could they have made up that time? I don't know. I mean, because they could have played that race a bit more boring, in a sense where when Max pitted or when George pitted, they could have just covered him off and been done with it and kept going. So, I mean, from that point of view, I mean, like, I guess, and this is kind of where I'm a bit indifferent about it. Like, I don't really think it was that exciting of a Grand Prix, just because
that's what I'm saying. I didn't think it was either.
In the end, it was kind of status quo of where they started.
Yeah, the only thing that was any fireworks was Carlos and Charles, and you had there was a little bit of a scuffle with George and Lewis, but Lewis took control of that. He had a faster car.
Yeah.
So. I get it, and I get the good thing is Lando was pissed, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I have no problem. Like, people are like, "Way down." I mean, he cares. He wanted to win the race, so he should have. You know, Max can get away with it now because he's won so many races. You know, it's. I think before, I bet you if you look at Max earlier when he had won one race and wanted to win a second, didn't get it. I bet you he was PO'd too.
Well, the mindset Lando has right now is very similar to what Max had when he was trying to catch Lewis.
And that's one of the reasons I like Lando.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, once
Once he wins once, a few more once races,
Lando and, yeah. and McLaren win a few more yeah. and figure it out,
yeah.
then it'll be really interesting.
He's, you know, he's getting there. He's just the problem is, even though that car is the Rebel's not what it was. Say this is a new Rebel car. This isn't the same car from last year. That car is not as dominant as last year's car.
The McLaren is better.
Yeah,
but well, that's what I'm saying. Let's phrase it the other
McLaren,
way.
Right? McLaren
has stepped up.
McLaren stepped up. The Red Bull is stagnated. Let's just say that. But it's still good enough to, you know, with a good with a great driver to get there. You know, so that's all good. I don't even want to talk about Checo. That guy is he's dead to me. It's dead. Anyways, apparently they don't care about winning the I mean, don't you want to win? Whatever. Never mind. Apparently not. Let's just talk driver's standings right now. Max has pulled out to a 69-point lead.
Nice.
Over Lando.
Yes.
As Ferrari falters.
Well, yeah, you can sit there and look at it like that, but between McLaren, Mercedes, and Ferrari, you can say now, I guess, that McLaren is probably the second best car, but they've been swapping around every other weekend.
I know, but when we get to, as we lead in, we got to Monaco and we're leaning in there, Ferrari was on this apex, you know?
And then they go to a track that they don't.
And then they got to the top, and then they won. You know, Monaco.
Yep.
Great qualifying because I mean that's we all know. Yeah. And then Canada, right down the backside of the roller coaster, and it went even further down the slope this weekend.
I know.
So and where are they going to be this weekend in Austria? No, it's going to be McLaren and Red Bull, I think, this weekend.
Yeah, I would probably take a guess that Ferrari is going to be ahead of Mercedes for Austria.
Okay.
For Silverstone,
I think Mercedes
it gets close.
I think Mercedes. I think there could be a McLaren Mercedes duel.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, because the Red Bulls, it wasn't that good there last year.
No, it's definitely not. Which is weird.
You know what it is? It's that switch. It's a fast street. It's a fast track, but it's the corners. I don't think the Red Bull likes some of the sweeping corners.
Well, which is odd because that's where it's supposed to be dominant. I
know. Last year it wasn't. It's you know. But anyways, we're looking too far ahead. So Lando's ahead of Charles and Carlos. Sergio somehow hanging on the fifth. Piastri, George, and Lewis. Fernando, and then Yuki. And then on the team front, this is where it gets interesting. Ferrari is 60 behind Red Bull. So basically, Ferrari is 60 points behind Max. McLaren is ahead of... is behind by 33.
To Ferrari,
but ahead, comfortably ahead of Mercedes. Mm-hmm. 49 plus 37, 86 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, then we have Aston Martin, Cash App, and then Alpine, and then Haas.
The real question is, how far up does Alpine get?
We'll see after this weekend coming up.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think we got to get through this stretch of three races, so we'll see what happens. Next, we are off to the Austrian Ring, or the Red Bull Ring for you fanatics.
You mean the Hills of England?
Red Bull's home track.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. Just some notes from the weekend. Congrats to Jack Crawford, Formula 2. You got a U.S. win.
That makes it. Nine different winners and nine races
and
for
F2. And in race two, we had two Americans on the top step, and we had Jose Maria Correa.
Juan Manuel
Correa. Yeah. He was on third, so he got a third. So he got a first podium since that awful accident with Antoine. He got one on Saturday and got bounced.
Okay, yeah. So he
rebounded on Sunday, okay. So that was good. And then in Formula One Driver Academy, mm-hmm. Chloe Chambers, USA. Team Haas gets its win in there Formula One. So congrats to Chloe. So that was pretty cool. So are they at this weekend?
I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Maybe they have a schedule. Except all.
The schedule, like, makes sense.
No, they don't go. Sense. No. Zandvoort's the next one, which is a fun track.
It is. Yeah.
F2? I believe they're here.
I think everyone is
yes,
at the next three races.
Is F3?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
All right, that's cool.
I think right. Porsche Cup.
Porsche Cup is here, definitely.
Yeah.
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 So, all right. So, off we go there. Just a couple of news things. Oh, a couple things. Best wishes to John Force. Got banged up in a big accident down in Virginia in the top fuel nitro car. So wish John the best. Age 75, he's still out there doing it. Guy's a lunatic. He's probably going to bounce up from his hospital bed and be doing an ad for peak antifreeze. Love him. Won't be at this upcoming weekend's race, but the cool thing was Austin Proc went out and won the race for them, so that was cool. Also, Sarah Bovey got banged up in a tough hit there in bad weather at Watkins Glen coming into the last corner. I think she got concussed. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
So she put out a video saying she was okay, but the Iron Dames did pull out of the 24 Hours of Spa, and there's two reasons for that. Sarah's banged up, and Dorian Penn's still banged up.
Mm-hmm.
So tough, you know. So now they're down to, you know, Rahel Frey and Michelle Gadding, and it's like you need three drivers at least for that race.
Separate note: did Lily Wadu?
She was in the AF Corsa car.
Yes.
In LMP2. Yes.
And they right?
with Nicholas Nielsen, who won.
Won
at yes. 24 okay. Hours of Le Mans.
No, no.
And
no.
They won the LMP2 class at the 6 Hours of Glen.
Yes, that's what it yeah. was. Yeah, yeah. yeah. So she's been on a yep. roll.
She's been on a roll. He's been on a roll. So good for her. Other than that, the only other rumor flying around now is with Flav in the paddock.
Okay. So explain the story. Explain who he is.
Oh, Flavio Briatore?
Yeah.
He is the Italian version of Bernie Ecclestone. Okay, except he never took over Formula One. He took over teams in a pretty sketchy way. He is the definition of a Formula One guy from the 80s, yeah. owner from the 80s and 90s and 2000s. He is, he's just, I'm not, anyways, and there's been shenanigans with the teams and contracts. He's one of the ones, he's infamous for stealing Michael Schumacher right from underneath Eddie Jordan's nose mm-hmm. on some thing, and the only reason Eddie Jordan couldn't sue the hell out of him was he didn't have enough money for the lawyers.
Mm.
Hattie, he would have won a big thing, but
yeah,
he was kind of screwed on that. And then he is most infamously so he had Benetton. Then was Benetton then Lotus or was it then Renault? And then it was Enstone. So it was like yeah, Benetton. I think it was Benetton, Renault. Then it was Lotus for a while, and that's when Kimi was there. And then it came back to being like Renault after that, or Gemini, and then when he got bought out. But he got thrown out of Formula One for orchestrating Nelson Piquet crashing his car so that Fernando could win. And
also known as
Crashgate. And yeah. Flav and Fernando are pretty tight friends, and I think I don't think he's his driver manager anymore, but he's just
Who, Alonso?
Yeah, he was at one point.
Oh no,
but
no, today it's Pedro de la Rosa.
Yeah, he's just a skunky guy. Whereas Toto's a little more professional skunk. This is like Flav's, like, he's just a skunk.
But he's bringing some character back into the paddock.
If
they play it right and they lean into it.
I know, and they talk to him, it's like, hey, you know, he's just, I don't know. I'm still like, this guy's the biggest hanger on. I have no idea.
Hey, his occupation on Wikipedia says businessman.
Yeah, that's about it. I don't know. He had no family money. I know that. I don't know what he was doing. He must have taken so much money from the Benetton family.
Apparently, he started his career as a restaurant manager.
Yeah,
manager.
There you go.
And an insurance salesman.
Yeah, shocked.
In Italy.
And Eddie Jordan was a banker in Ireland, too.
Hold on. Sorry, I'm continue reading Wikipedia because it has so much information on this.
It's got to be true.
Briatore was convicted in Italy on several fraud charges in the 80s, receiving two prison sentences.
Yeah.
Though the convictions were later extinguished by amnesty.
Oh, God.
Briatore also set up a number of successful Benetton franchises as a fugitive in the Virgin Islands of the U.S.
Yes.
And then in 1990, he was promoted by Benetton to manager of the Benetton F1 team, which then became Renault F1 in 2002.
And then it became Lotus, right? At some point.
Renault turned into Lotus. Oh, my God.
The only thing missing on his resume, or his CV, as they like to say in Europe, is like team owner in IMSA in the 1980s. That he would have fit right in. He is a character. I got to admit it. Him and Eddie Jordan, I like their characters, but God, he is just... when he shows up, there's just nothing good happening. That's how I look at it.
He also... He also took over the Queen's Park Rangers, English football team. So, anyways.
Yep. Well aware of that.
Anyways, Flav is back.
Fireman Flav. Yeah. Flav is back. All right, so we got to do picks, right?
And I think that'll...
How did our French expert, friend...
He took the win last week. With getting Max and Lando correct. This week he's gone. He must have watched too much Sky F1 because he's got Norris winning. Which, all right, that's good. And then he's on this roll with Mercedes of Hamilton and then Russell as second and third. And his dark horse. I don't know what he's thinking with this. But he's going Perez. So
okay. Well, I am going to do this. I am going to go... I'm going Max.
Okay.
Shocker. I'm going Lando.
Yep.
I'm going to say Oscar shows up this weekend.
Okay.
I was leaning towards Lewis, but I'm going to go Oscar.
Okay.
I might regret that, but I don't know. As my dark horse, I'm going to go Yuki.
All right. Similar... picks for me. I got Max at first, Lando in second. I'm gonna go Leclerc third, and then my dark horse, I'm gonna go Hulk.
Ooh,
he's finished 11th numerous amount of times, and they said that during the broadcast on Sunday, and I just sat there, I'm like, that's pretty fitting where he's on a team where he's just shy of getting points, whereas his entire career he's been just shy of getting a podium in his F1 career.
There you go.
So,
all right. There's nothing else.
No, just I. This next weekend's really light on racing. It's just
The Spa 24.
Oh yeah.
I mean, sorry. You know, tune in on YouTube for that.
Yeah. So in addition to that,
if you're an insomniac,
yeah. there's that, and then
well, the only bad thing, it's Spa, and it'll be about a 12-hour. Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't help it.
Yeah, but actually, Spa's a good point. That wraps up the 72 hours of June.
Oh yeah,
for some drivers,
terrible.
But yeah,
the next big event is the 25-hour Fun Cup race at Spa. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anyways, and on that note,
good night. Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.